Hello everyone. Welcome to a fresh new episode of the podcast series. I, Hitangshi Desai, am the host for this episode. Today, we have with us Dr. Anjali Chopra, a consumer insight specialist and an educationist at Keja Somaiya Institute of Management Studies and Research, Mumbai. She has over 19 years of experience in the field across various sectors like consumer durables, FMCG, telecom, personal care, and financial services. Welcome, Dr. Anjali. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Hitangshi. Thank you.
Could you please introduce yourself in brief?
Okay, so you've given a really nice introduction. So yes, I'm an educationist, a consumer insights specialist. I have experience of over 2 decades, and I have been associated extensively with the field of research and analytics. I have worked across multiple organizations in the capacity as a consultant, as well as an analyst and researcher. I've also been with Keja Somaiya Institute of Management, where I've handled marketing and marketing analytics. Yes, that's about me.
Oh, that's nice. So how did you begin your journey in the field of technology?
Okay, so interestingly, I did my BSc in statistics from Ruiya College. And after that, I did my MBA from Goa Institute of Management. At that time, there was really, you know, technology was very, very nascent. It was more about computer science. There was really no concept of data science and analytics. During my BSc in statistics, there was a lot of manual calculation. A lot of the work involved extensively solving through tables and graphs. So the only technology that we had back then was a scientific calculator. So one incorrect step and you would need to rework 4 pages in the journal submission. However, this never really disheartened me. Rather, I would get very excited because I wanted to know where is it that I made a mistake. So I realized that I enjoy numbers. I enjoy problem solving. I like to figure out which is the right statistical tool and technique to be used for a given problem. So that's really how my journey started. And it started more as a statistician and a researcher and then moved into the area of technology. Because by 2005, 2007, technology had become really big in the area of research.
And so with the statistics background, how did you get into data science?
Yeah, so if you know, data science involves a lot of data modeling, creating algorithms, working with predictive models to extract data. One needs to analyze the data and discover insights. Fundamentally, you're looking at data, you're trying to really clean the data, you're trying to understand whether the data would lead you to some kind of an insight. There are a lot of assumptions also that you need to work with. Which is the right technique? How do you conduct reiteration? All of that. My education in statistics and mathematics actually inculcated a lot of rigor in me. Further, I have also done my PhD in understanding the shifting consumer trends in the retail sector. The PhD really helped me in understanding context. The entire coursework for PhD instilled in me a love for first going through vast literature to understand all the past work done in particular domain and sectors, which is typically called a secondary data analysis. So this helps in understanding what exists so that you can design better questionnaires, you can look at better sources of data in order to answer the gap. So I think all of this training really helped me in understanding what is the requirement from technology. See, we need to understand that technology is a tool. Technology is not the be all and end all. The fundamental has to be either a good training in science, in engineering, in statistics, mathematics, economics. So this is where I think my educational background has really helped me.
Yeah. So were the initial days in this field challenging for you?
Well, the initial days in any career, I believe, is challenging because one is really trying to figure out what is it that one really loves as opposed to what is it that you're expected to do. Oftentimes, you know, we may find that there is a contradiction. What we enjoy doing is not what is expected of us. Yeah. Yeah, right. You are also, you know, at the start of your career, you must be facing that. Sometimes you have these grand plans and you have a vision about yourself, and the task that is given to you by your boss and your super boss, you're just wondering, where does this all lead to? So that's also how my journey began in 2000. I used to work on several models, a lot of research models, and we would just plug in the data and get the output. I used to become very restless because I wanted to know the science behind the model. I was then told that it's a black box, you know, someone has created the model. You just need to feed in the data and look at the output. That used to make me feel very inadequate. You know, I used to be like, no, so, but what does this mean? Why is this a stochastic model? You know, what does this trend imply? Why are we looking at a rolling average of over 4 weeks? These were things nobody really answered. So that's when I hit my statistics books back with a vengeance. The data science textbook by TIBCO, which at that time was known as StatSoft Electronic Statistics textbook, was very, very user-friendly for me. I also worked extensively on a lot of IBM SPSS data using their tutorials for ad hoc analysis, hypothesis testing, all of that. So just to add, in the early 2000s, there was a lot of focus on building robust models, and therefore a lot of time was involved in testing the assumptions. There was a lot of focus on statistical rigor and statistical analysis. However, what happened is that with the advent of big data, statistical assumptions and hypothesis testing didn't become that important because now you had volumes of data, and therefore technology became more important, software started changing, and now there was a rise of open source along with different technology stack. Coming from, you know, before the entire concept of open source, you know, so I have worked with a lot of point and click kind of softwares. For me, this was really like a life-changing moment. I was like, now I have to start coding. Now I have to really figure out, you know, what is R programming all about? I have to understand machine learning. So there was a bit of a block for some time. I was like, now how do I make this shift, you know, and am I becoming redundant? However, the passion for statistics stayed, and I realized that machine learning, again, the entire basis is statistics. So I found it interesting. I found it a lot of fun. I started using a lot of YouTube tutorials, and I learned a lot of these, you know, new technology tools that are available.
Yeah, so with your background of statistics, it was like a little bit simpler for you to understand all the maths behind all the algorithms so far. So,
absolutely.
Do you feel that knowing the statistics behind is very important in this field, or you can just go further with the algorithms, because there are a lot of algorithms and people just want to know how it works rather than what it does in the background?
Okay, this is a very interesting question that you've asked, and I find a lot of my students, in fact, have you know, all of them are signing up for these certification programs. Most of them have done some form of Tableau, R programming, Python, you know, so all of that is really good. However, what is the end objective and what is it that you want to achieve by doing all of these certifications? That is the first thing. The second is that if you inherently do not understand numbers, so you don't need to be a champion in statistics, but at least you should have some kind of an interest in numbers. You should be able to look at the output and figure out whether the output makes sense or not. So you would be knowing, you know, the concept of garbage in and garbage out, right? And if it is a machine, whatever data you throw in and whatever technique you apply, it will give you an output, right? So you can have very, very spurious correlation, which will make absolutely no sense. So you have to have some kind of a domain knowledge. So you should understand the sector and you should know which variables relate to each other. You should also be able to know the underlying assumptions, you know. So what constitutes a good model? So I know we look at performance measures and, you know, you look at model fit and all of that. But what does it really mean? Because when you have to fine tune a model, you really need to understand. Otherwise, you would just be doing donkey's work. You know, so instead of spending 7 days on reworking on the model, if you really knew which are those one or two things which you need to improve so that your model becomes better, you would save time. From 7 days, you would come down to 1 day of rework. So this is where I feel that you should know the basic concepts of statistics and mathematics. That's very important.
Yeah, that will actually be very useful.
Yes.
So I have read that you have been a mentor for so many people. Did you have a mentor in your journey?
Absolutely. I believe that mentors are someone who are able to spot you know, some spark or something in us which we probably, you know, are not aware of. In my present organization, I'm faculty in the marketing department, and Professor Isaac Jacob and my director, Professor Monica Khanna, they have given me a free hand to design and deliver all the analytics courses, especially in the marketing domain. So whether it is marketing analytics, whether it is retail analytics, and we've just launched a sports management program, which is a one-of-a-kind MBA in the field of sports. So they have told me to design sports analytics. They believe that I would be very good in designing curriculum, given that I have industry experience and I have actually conducted analytics workshop. Also, they have a lot of faith in me in terms of my ability to write technical research papers. So they have really been amazing mentors for me. Similarly, my founder of Unpickle, who's Milind Kelkar, he has been a guide and mentor, and he helped me to make the shift from research to analytics. He really helped me make that transition where I had a lot of block, you know, when I had to really look at our platform, SAS, yeah, and RapidMiner. That's when he really helped me understand that it's all statistics in a different form. So he has been a huge support for me.
Yeah, so as you mentioned about your research papers, so your research papers are one of those which are globally recognized, especially the two of those which you have mentioned. So could yes. you share something about your researches?
Okay, so I have focused a lot in the field of marketing and analytics. So one of my research papers is actually on credit scoring model and using ensemble techniques. It's a Sage publication, and where I've looked at gradient boosting ensemble method and shown how it is a superior algorithm compared to all the others which are available, you know, so random forest and ADA boosting and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I've actually used publicly available data and run several iterations and then shown how the performance improves by using gradient boosting. I've got a lot of people who have actually found the paper interesting. My paper is publicly available on ResearchGate, and a lot of people have written back to me. So that's a technical paper. There are also others which are in the space of consumer research. I have done a lot of work with millennial consumers and trying to really understand the consumer behavior. There's also work that I've done in the area of digital adoption to really understand what is the level of digital adoption in India. So this is the kind of work that I'm doing. And yeah, they are all international publications. They go through very extensive review process. There is a lot of rework required, and they look at the robustness of the model. All reviewers look at, you know, your sample size and how robust is the model and what is the insight that you get. So this is where, you know, I would also like to tell all the data scientists, it's not about data. You can have very, very good data, superior data findings, but the end customer would be impressed only if there's an insight. They will ask you, what is the story? What is it that you're trying to tell me from this data?
Yeah. Because that is what leads to the growth of the company.
Exactly. So even when you're making your, you know, when you're making your findings known to the top management, to key stakeholders, they are looking at it in terms of a business goal and a business objective. Right? So how does this data, how does this analysis, or how is the data analytics team, the work that they're doing, how is it helping me meet my end objective? They have their KPIs that they have to meet. So there is no point looking at data and working in a funnel, you know, and working in isolation. There is an excellent article called Marketing Myopia, which talks about, you know, organizations getting so obsessed about marketing without keeping the customer in mind. Yes, so I think there is also something known as data myopia, where a lot of us, we get so involved and obsessed with our data and reworking that we lose the overall perspective. And when you go and share the data and the findings, people would be like, okay, so what? What's the story? What are you really telling me out of this?
Yeah. So I have seen you have posted many poems and many other things on WordPress, apart from your work that you already do.
Right.
Which is the researches, handling different things, mentoring. So how do you manage the timing? Because in today's day, it feels like we have a lot of things to do, but then we don't have time. So how are we going to achieve so much in such a small span? That is what the feelings we have right now.
Okay. So this is a very good question that you've asked. I believe your interest should actually drive whatever you're doing. Okay. So let me be honest, I have my days when I just binge watch Netflix and I'm doing absolutely nothing. Okay, so I can watch like 8 hours of Netflix, you know, sit up all night and just do that. And then wake up the next day wondering, oh my God, you know, I just wasted 8 hours. However, if it has been an interesting, you know, storyline, I feel very energized. Okay, and then I'm able to, you know, do my work with more enthusiasm. So I take these creative breaks. And therefore, writing poems. I'm also part of a book club at my institute. So I write a lot of book reviews as well. So I read books and I review it and write about it. I write research papers. I work on statistical algorithms. So if you see, wherever I'm interested, I'm able to spend time and push myself. But I'm also famously known for if I don't like something, if I'm not interested, I will just procrastinate. So this is something I have figured out, and I have started eliminating things that I don't enjoy doing. So that just gives you more focus, and that gives you time to do things that you like. One very important aspect, which I would like to tell all of you, is that you need to spend time on exercise. Exercise releases endorphins. It really opens out your mind. I run 4 kilometers. Okay. I run about 3 to 4 times a week. And that has really helped me because, you know, that half an hour of running makes my 24 hours that much more active and that much more productive. And in the COVID situation with the lockdown, I have actually run indoors. So you can imagine I have done 300 kilometers of running indoors.
Yeah. So there's nothing stopping you.
That's right.
So, what was your biggest challenge during the journey?
I think the biggest challenge was, you know, when I was suffering from data myopia, you know, I was so obsessed with understanding data, understanding the various tools and techniques, tinkering around. And then I realized that you become a support function. I have actually, you know, been a part of projects where we have gone and presented to the marketing team, you know, and they've looked at the data and they've discussed it among themselves. That's when I realized that, you know, the data person is not even looked at as an expert, you know. So if the data was showing that the, you know, that the sales numbers were down, they had their own interpretation, they had their own reason, and they would discuss it amongst themselves. And it was like, okay, leave the data and you can leave, you know. So that's when I realized that business context is so essential. And you need to know the expectations of your key stakeholders. Otherwise, you're just like a data operator. And I didn't really like that, you know. Yeah, so the definition of a scientist is someone who is able to gather and use research and data and evidence. He is able to gain and share understanding and knowledge. So that's when I decided that I have to own it. So you essentially become a data custodian. You know, the entire, everything about data should rest with you.
Eventually making some difference to the society.
Yes.
Yeah, so with over 19 years of experience, you have seen a lot of changes in the tech world now. So what are the changes that you are really happy about? And is there something you wish that did not happen?
So when I look at the tech world, there is this huge debate. And in fact, I have also written a paper on the future of work. Right, where machines are now taking over a lot of the work that humans are doing. And if you see in analytics, there are a lot of, you know, you can actually automate entire analytics programs, you know. So a logistic regression can now be done by a machine once it is programmed. You don't need a human. So all of this, you know, just makes you wonder, where is it that we're heading? On one hand, yes, you know, technology is efficient, technology is superior. It's really giving us so much of advantage. But then what about humans? And there is definitely an impact on employment. So I really looked at it in terms of what does it mean for, you know, the newly entering workforce. So just to throw some light, you know, I attended one of the talks by Professor Roland Rust. He's a distinguished professor at Maryland University. And there's this huge debate which is going on even in the US. And he spoke about 4 key skill sets. So one is, you know, data skills, and then you have analytical skills, intuitive skills, and empathetic skills. Mm-hmm. And what he said is that technology and basically machines have aced it in the first 3. So when you look at data skills, analytical skills, and intuitive skills, this is where, you know, technology is outperforming humans. But let's look at the 4th, which is empathetic skills. right? And this is where humans still have an advantage. So when you really look at the entire customer service space, and interestingly, you were talking about chatbots, right? So yeah. A task which was done by humans first, now you have a machine that is handling it, right? But when you come to empathy, do you think bots, you know, do you think AI can actually demonstrate empathy? A lot of work is doing on creating robots which have more human-like features with a smile, especially in the area of assisted care for the elderly. There's a lot of work going on in the West, yes. There are certain set of scientists who believe that a robot can mimic empathy, but it's not the same as feeling empathy. And I'm just waiting to see, you know, how all of this unfolds over the next, you know, 10 to 15 years. Will technology really overtake everything? And would we become redundant? And therefore, what is it that we should do? Should we just go back to the villages and, you know, stare at the fields and just grow food and, you know, sit at home? Because technology will do everything. I really don't know.
Yeah, let's just hope that whatever is being done is for the good of the society and it does not hamper or go some things in the wrong direction.
Yes.
So what message would you give to so many people out there who just want to start their career as a data scientist?
So those, you know, who want to start their career, what I would say is that find your interest. You know, there are so many aspects to data science. What is it that you like? Do you like modeling? Do you like coding? Are you interested in a specific sector or domain? Do you enjoy storytelling? Do you want to look at insight mining? What is it that is your interest? Let your interest drive you so that you will then be, you know, very sustained at actually working towards it, and you will have a thriving career and a thriving profession. If you look at me over the last two decades, right, the way things have changed, I've told you that I started with paper, you know, that's how my journey began. And now it's like machine learning and all of you young data scientists, right? But you have to keep your career. It has to be, you know, it has to be able to absorb the shocks which are going to be there in the environment. Today, we are facing COVID, right? 6 months back, none of us anticipated this, right? No machine also was able to tell us that, you know, there would be a situation of a lockdown and we would all be sitting at home. Okay. But if you have worked on your skill sets, work will keep coming. If you have defined a niche for yourself and you're known, people will come back to you. But you need to create that. You need to define it. You know, so I don't think there's any point in being a jack of all. You know, so we see resumes of hundreds and hundreds of students, all of them saying, you know, certified in R programming, certified in, you know, Google AdWords. Yeah, okay, you're certified. But what? Did you do some interesting project out of it? And can you talk about it? That would be more relevant. So whatever you're learning, great. But apply it to a domain or apply it to a field which you're interested in. For example, if you're an avid sports fan, why don't you apply, you know, the tools that you have learned, and there's so much of publicly available data. Just apply it, rerun a model and see how your model is better than whatever is used for predictive analytics. If you're interested in movies, why don't you just run a text mining algorithm and try to understand whether certain kind of actors get more positive sentiments than other kind of actors, or certain genres of movie get more positive sentiments. So what should be the keywords? You know, so these are things that you should apply. So don't just restrict yourself to learning. It has to be applied. You know, applied knowledge will always help.
Yeah. There is no point in knowing so much if you cannot do anything about it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So are there some books or courses or website that you would recommend for the beginners to start with?
So I think books, most of the introductory books on statistics are good. I think it is very important that you should have some understanding of statistics. And regression is basically, you know, it's like the mother of all algorithms, you know, and then you have various forms of regression, but you should really understand what are you trying to do through a regression model. And of course, there are enough and more courses on Coursera, which are extremely helpful. If you just Google, so every month you will get which is the trending courses that you should be focusing on. So I think Introduction to Data Science in Python on Coursera is supposed to be very good for beginners. There's also the IBM Data Science, which is a professional certificate. I have found YouTube tutorials very good. I've learned a lot of R programming and RapidMiner as well as SAS eMiner through YouTube. So there are some, you know, great videos which are available. Obviously, most of you would be aware of Kaggle. You also have the UCI Machine Learning Repository, which has a huge collection of data sets. And you should just try to experiment. For instance, the IRIS data set is used by all data scientists, you know. But so I use the IRIS data set recently, and I just used it as a visualization tool. And I realized that the data set is so beautiful that the box plot, normal distribution, scatter plots were very, very, you know, beautifully depicted just through the IRIS data set. You know, so you have to look at various aspects. So you would never think of IRIS data set and visualization. You know, nobody's really looked at it that way. So you can look at the same data set and apply different tools and techniques and figure out what works. And where is it that you are finding it, you know, it's adding to existing knowledge.
Yes. So where can the listeners connect to you?
So on LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can just send me a message on LinkedIn and I will get back to you.
Yeah. So with that, Dr. Anjali, we have come to an end.
Okay.
It was really great having you. Thank you for taking out time from your busy schedule for the community.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining and sharing so much. I hope listeners will be benefited as much as I have done from this podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Tanshi, for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.